What we're going to do today is talk about some resources that people can use to increase their knowledge, keep up to date. One of the biggest resources that I use is Google. David Kingsbury is at our trusty second computer at the keyboard and is going to do a little discussion and demonstration about using Google as a resource.
All I wanted to say is something that's sort of so banal and planned that it may be profound, I hope, and I'll just relate my experience of recently trying to learn the ribbon in Office 2010, where I'm confronted with this thing and there are all these new menus. I don't know what they are. And some of them, gee, it's obvious where things are, and others it's less obvious. And I just started using Google for like incredibly simple things and it worked. So I just wanted to give a couple of examples. And for me, this was just a little profound because what I would normally do when I ran into a problem in Microsoft with an Office program, I'd go into the help parts of Excel or Word or whatever. And a point came where I never went back anymore and I stultified because it was so frustrating going through the help in Word and Excel that I just didn't learn things. So I just want to give a couple of examples of things I did that were very simple and actually make life quite a bit easier. I was in Excel, and I used Excel 2003 quite a bit and so on and so forth, just mucking around in the various tabs, as they're called in the ribbon, and I wanted to figure out how do you insert rows and columns. Well, there's an insert tab in Excel, so obviously they're there. Well, I went through that insert tab over and over and over again 500 times, and I couldn't find how to insert a row and a column. I was thinking of bothering the people, you folks on the ViBug, the member list, but then I thought, well, maybe I'll just Google it. I Googled it, and voila, I had an answer.
Google.
Then all I did was, I went into Google, I'm in Google now, and I simply typed in
I-N-S.
Inserting rows and columns, or just say rows.
R.
In Excel, I hope that said Excel.
Did you do this within quotes?
No. Google is very forgiving of, in the olden days, you had to do things exactly right. But
I did a lot of things that way to try to narrow my searches.
What I found is just by not being, at least for some things, by not being very narrow at all, it worked just fine. Let me see what I've typed.
Inserting rows in Excel 2010 Google search.
I don't know if we have the search results there yet.
Search results heading level 2.
Google is, at least for basic searches, quite blind friendly. Headings work very well, landmarks work very well, and for each search result, headings work too. So you always want to get to search results because sometimes there's just a bunch of crap above search results that are masking as search results, but they're not really. And then
inserting cells, rows, or columns in Excel 2010 for Dummies heading level 3 link.
And there it was for Dummies, that's me.
Enter. Inserting cells, rows, or columns in Excel 2010 heading level 1. Heading level 1, inserting cells, rows, or columns in Excel 2010 by link Greg Harvey from link Excel 2010 for Dummies. If you need to add new tables in an existing Excel 2010 same page link worksheet, you can insert new same page link cells, columns, or rows into worksheet rather than going through all the trouble of moving and rearranging several individual cell ranges. To insert new cells, rows, or columns in an Excel worksheet, follow these steps. List of three items. 1. Select the cells, rows, or columns where you want the new blank cells to appear. 2. Click the drop-down arrow attached to the insert button in the cell same page link group of the home same page link tab. Cells.
And that's all I needed to hear. It was in the home tab. And then I tabbed like 50 times in the home tab, and I found it, as well as the shortcut to it. But it would have taken me forever, and I, being new to it, I wouldn't have guessed it's in the home tab. After understanding things a little bit better, I now understand that in 2010, in general, the home tab is the kitchen sink. It's where they throw everything. So if you don't know what it is, that's probably where it was. Another problem I had, which struck me as much more intractable and much more serious, I can live without being able to insert rows and columns in Excel, but I couldn't exist without being able to read an email. And when you go into Outlook 2010, I guess, Microsoft, just to protect us from the bad things out in the world, they have something called Protected View for all email attachments you receive now, which render those email attachments totally inaccessible, at least if you're blind. I'm assuming sighted people can see them on the screen and can read them, but we can't do anything with them. You'd hit enter on it, you're in Word, if it's a Word attachment, and there was silence. There was nothing. So I said, okay, well, I'll save it to the hard drive at least, and it isn't very efficient, but maybe I could read it there. And at least when I did it and I hit enter on it, it was still in protected view. So the thing was totally useless. You don't have to be that precise with your language, but you want to be a little bit articulate. I didn't just type in protected view. I typed in, you know, disabled protected view in Outlook 2010. So
D-I-S-A-B-L-T-R-O. Enter. Disable protected view in Outlook 2010 Google search. Disable virtual PC cursor.
There's a good test of it because I butchered the spelling there. And
click sign in. Search results heading level 2. Disable protected view mode in Office 2010 to easily open Outlook. Heading level 3 link.
I won't hit enter on it right now, but I entered it. I went in there. I found out something I never would have found otherwise. And I suppose, you know, well, if I emailed you folks, you would have given me the answer, but I might have had to wait 3 or 4 or 5 hours. But, you know, it turns out that this is buried somewhere in something called the Trust Center. But the first search result, I hit enter on it, and I got a very clear expose on what to do in the Trust Center to disable protected view. This morning, just in preparation for this, I thought I would type in something funny, which was this. Is more related to IE9. What the hell is notification requires response? Which is something when you go into IE9, you hear that every time. I didn't get a search result, but then when I typed in something more neutral, like notification requires response in IE9, I saw some posts which were basically like, I want to get rid of IE9 because this thing is driving me crazy. So it was sort of the same what the hell, but written differently. And I learned a little bit about why that is there, what that's there, and what you sort of do about it. So when I first got my iPhone a year ago, I typed in, you know, blind friendly apps or, you know, accessible apps for the blind with the iPhone and got a lot of useful stuff in there. I've also found in general, you know, whether it's technology or something else, search functions within individual websites generally stink. Or they're very complicated. So if I want to find a New York Times movie review, I don't go into the New York Times. I type in the name of the movie and then write in New York Times movie review or a book or something like that. Or I don't go into Wikipedia to search. I just write in whatever the search thing is I'm looking for and then Wikipedia. And the very first search result is always the Wikipedia entry. For incredibly simple things, Google can be very helpful. And without just Googling some of these very simple things, like where do you find this and that in Excel 2010 or Outlook 2010, I'd still be very stuck, or you guys would be bothered with lots and lots of emails from me. But you can get answers very quickly for some of these very simple questions just by Googling it, so long as, you know, you're reasonably approximately close in what you're asking for.
There's a link in Google that says, screen reader users, click this link to turn off Google Instant. Mm-hmm. I played with it, and I actually get worse results if I click the link. Have you messed with that?
When I get that, I'll either Alt-F4 out of Google and then just go back in again and hopefully just get Google. But I've never used that. You just go straight into Google like we just did now, get into the search box, and it works fine because it's just a question of using headings.
What Google Instant will do is try to guess what you're typing, and it can be disconcerting if you're typing and you don't see what's coming out of the blind person.
Yeah.
So you turn that off and you can type whatever you want without Google trying to tell you what you want.
So I have a second question. So you've typed in your search and you get your 10 search results and, ooh, that first one looks interesting. So you click on it and take it to a website. You look around the website. Maybe it's what you want, maybe it's not. You're supposed to be able to exit that website in such a way that you get back to your Google screen. It's either escape or backspace, but sometimes I can't get back to my Google screen anymore.
Alt-left arrow.
I'll either backspace or alt-left arrow, and then sometimes I can't get back either. So I can just Alt-F4 out and start over. Yeah, no, I found sometimes alt-backspace works, sometimes it doesn't work, and then, you know, just get back to Google, Alt-F4 out totally, and go back in.
If you, instead of pressing enter to open a link, press shift-enter, and it will open it in a new window, and your original window will still be there. So then that's what I always do. If it's, if it's a screen that I think I might want to go back to, I press shift-enter instead of
or you can use Control Tab also if you have multiple ones open.
I run into a problem with Google on Internet 10 Windows 7 where when I initially open my IE10 page, the home page is Google, it comes up, it gives me the sound, it says to type in the search items, so I type something in, I hit enter, and it gets messed up, it doesn't search. I have to actually hit Control-All and type in Google again, and then when it reloads the Google page, then it works.
JAWS, in its infinite wisdom, has a bug that Freedom Scientific insists does not exist, but that I can reproduce on a regular basis, and other people can too, where sometimes you think Forms Mode is activated and you're entering data, and in fact, it doesn't enter the data. It reads it like it's entering the data. You type it, and you hear, if you want your character echo on, you hear it, and you hear the words and everything, and you hit enter, and nothing happens, because JAWS, in fact, has not entered the data. There is some glitchiness with Forms Mode.
One thing that seems to help that is that instead of hitting enter, you have to tab to the
search
button.
Yep.
And activate that. That seems to...
That makes a difference.
A lot of
sometimes.
The page too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you F5, because I've had situations you go in and, you know, you don't hear that boop when you're in the edit field, and but it says edit, and you hit enter, and
yeah,
so on.
It's
so,
not really an edit. I've seen that.
So, you know, just F5 for refreshing might help, too.
Yeah.
Another thing that happens, too, is you type in your search term and so on and so forth. You hit enter. Search results certainly come up, but you're thrown back in the edit field. I've had many times where my search results is hydrogen, because the first thing I type in is H, and I'm winding up searching for hydrogen. Often you can get thrown right back into the search field, and you hit H for heading without you actually asking it to search. It goes looking for hydrogen or something like that. When you go back in after the search results, you know, listen for the boop and all of that so that you're not thrown right back into the edit field.
What do you do to make sure you put the search in and you hit search, and then it does bring, because I have the same problem.
You make sure you're not in that edit field. You make sure you arrow.
I can't get out of that edit field. I hit tab to get out of that
escape.
Edit field.
Just escape.
Hit escape.
I'll hit escape and then control home just to make sure I'm back at the top of the page.
Insert
Z will toggle virtual mode on and off. The other thing, too, is if you just, when you get on the page, I'll just automatically down arrow to make sure I'm out of that field before I type anything.
Even when I have H in there, if I down arrow, it will get me out of it. It will eventually bring me to the results.
Right, but if wound up typing in H, then your result is all about hydrogen or something.
Oh, if you enter, if you actually hit enter.
No, I've done it where I don't even hit enter.
No,
and it just decides...
It's like predictive text.
It searches for H.
It's like predictive text.
Yeah. If you want to find a restaurant menu, I've had good results just typing in all menus menu for whatever the restaurant is. Much better than going to the all menus website or just typing in the name of the restaurant. You tend to get menus more quickly.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to limit your search results to just one particular website in your search field, you can type in site, S-I-T-E, colon, the name of the website, like Amazon.com. If that gets space, and then your real search term, then it will force Google to only search within that website.
But would that search for, like, individual products?
Yeah,
you want?
Okay. But it will only do it within that site that you set,
I found that on some sites, and I can't think of any examples right now. Google knows these are like places to buy things. Google knows their products better than their search engine does.
Often if I'm looking for a product and I know the exact name of the product or the product model number, I'll just put that into Google and I can find all sorts of information where to buy it, the whole deal. Rather than just going to like different manufacturers' websites or this or that, I'll just put it in Google and I often find the information I need.
It is true that Google is very smart and you often don't need the quotes, so you can try first without quotes. But if the search results of most interest don't seem to be at the top of the list, I would say, like when you mentioned that protected view, if you know that that's the exact term that's being used, protected view and not some variation like protection view or something, if you know that's the exact term, then I would put it in quotes. And in fact, you can even go further. If you want it to not show you something unless it has the term, I think you can put a plus sign before the term, so plus quote protected view.
That's correct. At least I do it.
Yep. And besides that site colon is a good example that you can do. Like if you wanted to search for something on Wikipedia, you're right, Wikipedia is such an unusual word, it would probably go to the site anyway. But let's say you wanted a tutorial on some Microsoft-related thing, but you wanted it to look on the Microsoft site, then just include as a search term site colon Microsoft.com.
The one place where I don't seem to have a whole lot of luck is if I have a specific problem with JAWS, doesn't seem to work. I'll write something or other JAWS, and the first thing will always be, you know, bringing you to some general support site at Freedom Scientific. Never an answer to the specific question, or rarely. I mean, much more hit and miss.
And if there's something else that's maybe similar sounding and it's cluttering up your search results, like I think there's some kind of a Johnston related to dictation that's not the screen reader. If you can find some term that you want to use for excluding, like the company that makes this other product you're not interested in, put a minus sign before that term. So that will exclude results that have that term in it.
One of the problems is that if Freedom Scientific doesn't delineate the information on their site in such a way that makes it easily searchable, you're going to get a lot of garbage.
Well, just saying a little trick. I mean, allmenus.com is a website that gives you restaurant menus and the like. I don't know. I found with like that and Yelp and others, you got to go through loads of reviews and all sorts of garbage before maybe you find a menu or maybe you don't. So just typing in... typing in menu 4 and then whatever the name of your restaurant is in the town can help, but generally even all menus, menu 4, whatever the restaurant is. Again, not always, but it's often given me quite better results for eventually, you know, finding a site where the actual menu for the restaurant can be found. May not be an up-to-date menu, but it's still a menu.
Another thing is that NBP, and I think this is, they still have this on their site in electronic format. Jonathan Mosen did a little book on Google a couple years ago, which has a lot of stuff in it, which is a good little resource.
Yeah, Jonathan Mosen and Anna Dresner was called Google It! Exclamation mark.
Now, also, Google itself has some great resources. And yeah. I don't know if it was help.google.com, but Google, try Google and Google. It actually comes up with some good stuff. Yeah.
So, David, what was the answer on the notification issue?
You hear it, you know, some of these things you hear so much that you don't actually listen to what JAWS is telling you. But if you do listen, and it does say hit Alt-N, then you hit Alt-N, because I was finding what I think notification requires response. My best guess is that when you get one of these things, say you're downloading something, so the thing comes up, save, open, or cancel. It just says save, open, or cancel. And you can't focus on it until you hit Alt-N, and then you can save, open, or cancel. And it's saying that to you, but if you hear it 100 times a day, you don't listen anymore. So that's the one time when you have to actually listen.
Is there a way of avoiding having to do Alt-N? That's what I was wondering.
You might be able to change something in your security settings that would determine what you're allowed to download and when. Or there's another one that comes up. Oh, there's one that'll come. Do you want to display all content as opposed to just secure content? And that has to do with your security settings. So if you really want to go in there and you might be able to change something depending upon your browser and so forth, that would indicate your permissions for things like downloading and whatnot. You might be able to get rid of it, but other than that.
Maybe related to Google, I'm wondering if you have someone lined up for, if you want to hear the Google search app, the new features that spoken search that they've added on.
Yeah, that's the rule for people who don't have an iPhone 4S or 5. It's Siri, essentially.
It's faster Siri. I can show it.
Yeah, you want to show? Yeah. Thank you, David. I'm going to have you switch seats with Antonio. Take it away.
This is a Google app. It's a Google search, and I'm going to go into it.
Yellow Pages.
And speak something into it. It'll come up and either speak it out back to me if it's pretty sure of what it thought I wanted to search for. It'll come up with searches that I can flick through and read about. The thing that doesn't do is if it comes up with a website and I click on it, it doesn't open up Safari and let me read it that way because, well, it's Google.
Google.
And
is this,
Apple.
Is this on an iPhone or what?
Yes. So here's the app. It's coming up.
Google. Sign in. Button.
I'll flick over to the voice button and ask it a question that I believe it's answered for me before.
Button. Apps. Button. Voice. Button.
What is a blind person?
Blind person. A person with a severe visual impairment.
It will do things that you wouldn't expect, that you probably need to learn that it does. For instance,
voice.
5 feet, 8 inches
button.
To meters.
5 feet, 8 inches is 1.73 meters.
What do you do, Antonio, if it brings you page results and you said you can't, it won't open with Safari, how do you then go through the page?
I decide I'd go to the computer at that time, if it doesn't tell me right away. And it'll do weather. Weather in Cambridge,
button.
Massachusetts.
It's 69 degrees with light rain in Cambridge.
Part of the problem with that app, though, is many of the buttons are unlabeled. And so you have to know where voice is.
Well, the voice one is labeled.
The voice one is labeled. But once you go into it, Antonio was going back to voice. I think if you just hit the center of the screen, it's reset right to that. So you don't have, maybe, I think that's what I was doing. I was just recapping it, and it was allowing me to ask questions.
I can try that, and if you're lucky, you might hit the button.
I thought I had done that. I had labeled one of the buttons.
Hit the center of the screen.
What I'll do sometime, if it doesn't work, I'll go to the top with forefinger touch towards the top of the screen,
right.
Tap that first, and then flick to the...
Degrees Fahrenheit.
And that's the center, and I would have to hunt.
Light rate, Cambridge, MA, list start.
All right, so I'll touch four fingers to the top, and it...
Button.
And tap that. I just figured Sign that
in.
Works,
button.
So I do it.
Apps, voice. Button.
And then there, and double tap and ask it. Who
is
Terry
button.
Gross?
Here is some information about Terry Gross.
It actually has answered that, but that's the point. I'll just go to the computer. But.
Well, you can just
you have, somebody had a question?
That opens. You can open links in that one, too.
Okay. I haven't been successful with it. There's a lot of accessibility stuff, I guess.
Are you using this because you don't like Siri?
He does not have
It's an iPhone
4.
He doesn't have Siri.
Oh, I see. All right.
Siri now has a major limitation that they're finding, which is now that you have to be very brief in your inquiries of Siri, much more brief than you used to be.
What's the name of the app? Because if you go in and search in the App Store, there's many different Google apps.
Google apps.
Once it's installed on your screen, it'll just say Google.
Right.
And it's just a feature in the Google app.
Okay.